Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is a Best of Brian Lehrer show, highlighting some of our favorite recent segments. Here's one from a show we did earlier this summer in WNYC's new live venue, the Jerome L. Green Performance Space. So we won't be taking any calls, but our comments page is always open at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Hello again, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live from the Jerome L. Green Performance Space on Varick Street in downtown Manhattan today. And those of you who've been listening to the show over the last few months have no doubt heard us talk about the Uncommon Economic Indicators Project, where listeners have sent us photos, stories, and videos of changes that they noticed caused by the recession. Some of the stories are funny, many of them are helpful, and every once in a while we get a post that makes us stop and want to take a closer look at the issue being raised. In a little while, we'll do kind of a roundup of various intriguing uncommon economic indicator posts, but right now let's focus on one serious issue that was mentioned in an anonymous post to the Uncommon Economic Indicators page from a listener in the Bronx. The post read, "Families are sharing apartments. While one family works during the day and uses the apartment at night, another family works at night and has access to the apartment during the day. Also, living rooms are now bedrooms to be rented out." And that's what the post says. Now, this is not new. You know, the Lower East Side Tenement Museum shows immigrant workers sleeping in shifts in New York 100 years ago. But people cope with the cost of living by so-called doubling up. Maybe when you're just out of college or young and unattached, that seems like an economical choice. But for working families, it can make a daily routine of school and work very difficult, and it's a practice that seems to be growing because of the tough economic times. Just want to remind everybody listening on the radio that you can watch this show live right now as a video webcast. Just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you can click right through to watch us as a live video webcast from the Green Space today. And we are joined by two guests to talk about their own experiences living in doubled-up situations. They are both members of the housing activist group Picture the Homeless, whose motto is, "Don't talk about us, talk with us." And that's what we're doing today. Letitia Ladan is disabled and has experienced homelessness both in a shelter and by staying with friends. Now she and her husband have their own one-bedroom apartment, yet a constant string of friends or family stay in the living room with her. Russell Pinsley works two jobs, one for a parking garage company and another for a small contractor remodeling kitchens and bathrooms. He helped get his son through high school while living with a friend and now lives in a shared apartment where the stabilized rent is about to increase, possibly putting him out of a place to live once again. Letitia, Russell, thank you both so much for coming to the Green Space and being on the show.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Stephen Greenhouse, labor and economics writer for the New York Times and author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker, out now in paperback from Anchor Books. He's written extensively about the ways in which economic forces can affect people's daily struggles, even before this official recession. So, Stephen, welcome to the Green Space. And Letitia, you're doubled up now, I guess, by virtue of having people into your home.
Yes.
Give us more details. Who do you live with?
Well, I live with my husband. I have my I have a roommate, well, I call a tenant, a friend, and my brothers are constantly on in and out. You know, every 3 months, they have no place to live. You know,
on what terms? Do you make a deal? Do they pay rent?
Well, family don't pay rent. But my friends, they will pay rent.
And why do you do it? Out of the goodness of your heart to your family members?
No, I don't. You know, I feel sorry. Well, because I love my family, but I know that it's hard out there and that there's no apartments available. The rents are so high, but it also helps me out because I am disabled, and my roommate, he pays half. You know, he pays for cable, electricity, and because I only receive a small amount from SSI every month, so that's nowhere near enough to pay for housing.
And Russell, who did you and your son double up with, and on what terms?
Well, we were actually evicted from city-owned housing, and we were living in that city-owned building on West 87th Street with five or six people. And so one of the persons there and I, when we were all evicted from that building, went to a privately owned apartment, and we paid a fairly exorbitant rent to stay in a two-bedroom, and I stayed in the living room.
And you paid rent to the family that you were staying with?
No, the person I was with was on the lease because I couldn't, in 2002, get on the lease. I had a medical bankruptcy, so I had no credit standing, and so he had to be on the lease. And then we moved from there. When my son went to college, we went into a studio, the two of us. And subsequently, I've moved in with another activist who's taken me in, so I'm on the lease. I'm not on the lease there either.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like parenting a teenager while doubling up in an apartment?
It wasn't easy, especially when he had a party or two. You know, we had to get out of the place. But
who was in charge? You or him?
Sometimes I wasn't sure, but luckily, when we were in city-owned housing, I was able to put a little money away, and that went pretty quickly once we were paying regular market rate rents. But it was really unfortunate because when in our city-owned building, HPD put us out. My son was a junior in high school. He was applying to college, and it was very stressful.
And Letitia, you have been on the other side of this too. You have been the one who doesn't have the apartment but doubles up.
Yes. We was in a shelter for 6 years. Well, actually, me and my husband first. Before that, we was street homeless. And then we went into the shelter, and we was in a shelter for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I finally got an apartment. You know, I stayed in a room in the shelter, and I'm still in a room. I get an apartment, and I still have no space. I'm still just secluded to that one room.
So you've seen both sides of this phenomenon, having stayed with friends and family yourself, now hosting people in the apartment that you have. Which is harder?
Can you repeat that?
Being the one who takes people in or being the one who's taken in?
Oh, being the one that takes people in.
Why?
Because I would love to have my freedom and privacy more than extra money.
You're making me feel bad.
Why is that?
Because I feel I'm sort of imposing on someone myself that way, and I just love to find a place, but the West Side's my community, and there's no place for me there right now the way things are.
Even though you're working two jobs.
Yeah, they're erratic kind of jobs, you know. They're not really low-wage, $10 to $15 an hour, but it's not enough. 50% of my income goes to the rent as it is. And
50. Mm-hmm. Stephen Greenhouse, how common is this, and how much of an indicator of this recession?
Well, before the recession, there was a lot of doubling up, but it was mainly by undocumenteds. And you know, I've written a lot of stories about, you know, immigrants from Mexico or from Africa, you know, who would sleep, you know, 10, 12, 15 in an apartment. And that was par for the course for them. But I think what's different now is a lot of, you know, typical American workers, you know, with millions of foreclosures and you know, 14.5 million people out of work. You know, people are being evicted, people being foreclosed upon. They don't have enough money to pay the rent. They can't get a new mortgage. They can't, you know, landlords don't want to let them sign a lease. So what do? They double up, they triple up, they move in with, you know, sisters, uncles, aunts, grandparents. It's these are uncommonly difficult economic times.
Did you see Barbara Ehrenreich's column a week or two ago in which she mentioned how the media is quick to write about how the rich and middle class are being affected by the recession? We're hearing a lot about bankers. But are ignoring the already poor and how the struggling are struggling even more. They weren't being reported on in the first place. Is that what you're seeing in your reporting?
I wrote to Barbara saying she wrote a very good op-ed, but I think our paper has written a good number of stories about the squeeze, not just on the middle class falling down, but on you know, the working class, moderate class, you know, blue-collar workers. One of my colleagues, Eric Ekholm, had a terrific piece about people who had been foreclosed upon or been evicted, and they've moved into motels because they can't sign a lease for an apartment. They can't sign a mortgage. So we have been writing stories.
So the Times, at least.
Yeah.
You're saying is doing that for the paper for which you work. Russell, you've been a member of Picture of the Homeless for only a month or so, I gather, right?
Well, yes, I've been part of the homeless movement for 20 years, but I'm officially paying dues now with this group. I'm a dues-paying member.
Really? What do they charge?
Very reasonable. If you want to join, we'll sign you up after.
Is there a special homeless person's rate? Or
no, there's allies and homeless and people as homes, and we're just trying to put everybody together.
How did you get up with them?
Actually, on your show, I heard Rob Robinson, and I'd heard of the group before, but he made such a strong impression on me. I went to my first meeting, and I found them a very positive group, and they're about being the change that they're talking about, not just putting your finger up in the air and asking questions and things.
From when Rob Robinson was on our show?
Yes, sir.
So the Brian Lehrer Show made a connection between
an individual
and a group.
You do have impact.
That makes
That's
me
true.
Proud.
Well, anytime. You know.
And if Picture of the Homeless is about having the homeless speak to the world in their own voices instead of people speaking about them, what do you really want everybody to know? What's the most important thing you want to say?
Well, the most important thing is that there are empty buildings, apartments, and lots, and there are homeless people, and we should put the people who need homes in these homes that don't have people, and it's only because the real estate industry has a stranglehold on government here, which is why Albany's in a deedlock, because rent decontrol was going to be passed, and gee, the day before, nothing can get accomplished. We've got a buildings industry, a buildings department that's ineffective, and buildings are falling down, cranes are falling on us. We need federal oversight of the buildings department and the whole real estate industry here in New York.
Letitia, how about you? What's the most important thing before you go that you want people to know?
Right. I want people to know that they need to unify and hold their government officials accountable and force them and demand them to change laws and policies that will help make people be able to move from homelessness to housing.
Letitia, who's harder to double up with? Family or friends?
Oh, definitely family. Family will take advantage every time.
Letitia and Russell from Picture of the Homeless, thank you very much for coming in.
You,
good
Brian.
Luck to both
thank
of you.
Brian. Okay.
Share your favorite WNYC segments with friends by posting them on your social networking site. Just click on the share icon on the show pages of WNYC.org.